Man, what a blessing to see this number this morning. I tell you what, praise the Lord, I'm glad you're here. We don't have to go hiking if you don't want to. That was just kind of just a joke. We don't have to do that, but we did have a good time last week, and glad for all those that were able to come, and I praise the Lord that you're here, and just trusting the Lord this morning. He's laid something on my heart, maybe a little different in the last couple of weeks, but I'm just going to trust him. When he nudges, I've learned to kind of just go ahead and listen. Because if I give any resistance, he kind of nudges a little harder. And he has a way about winning. He has a way about getting what he wants. And we just want the Lord to be pleased this morning. We're trusting in him and trusting in his spirit. And we're just praying that the Lord would lead us and guide us as a church. You know, this is an amazing time to be in the church. If you look at history, it's not that it's a easy time. The church has often found hard times, but we're living in the end times. And this should be in a very exciting place for us as far as going home time and thinking about that. And I tell you, I want to go out fighting, if I can use that term. I want to go out pleasing the Lord. I want to go out doing what he would have us to do. You know, there's a lot you think about the lost people and all that's going on there. You think about missions, all that's going on there. But I think about our church and what's going on right here. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of things that you're facing, a lot of things that you're going through. And I just want to be here to help you. But most importantly, I know the Lord does. And I want us to really put our trust in him. And I pray that we listen to this morning with receptive ears, receptive hearts, and just trusting that the Lord God, he will get the glory out of it. But if you will, let's just go ahead and pray this morning, and then we'll get started. Father, I just want to come to you first thing this morning, just thanking you for all your many blessings, Lord, how you've always been so kind to me, good to me, Lord. When I was unlovable, you loved me. God, you took care of me. You've shown me things. You've taught me things. When I was absolutely undeserving, not deserving now, God, but you've shown me things throughout life, and you've let me experience things that maybe at the time were very hard, but that definitely had a purpose for growth, for understanding. Maybe things happen earlier in life that we'll have knowledge how to help people or do things maybe later in life, God. And Lord, that's just what we want to be here this morning, learning from your word, learning from experience. And God, I just want you to know how much I love you and thank you, Lord, for how kind you've been to me. Everything that you've ever done for me, Lord, I want to publicly thank you for that this morning. Lord, give you all the credit for it. You've just done amazing things, and we just thank you for that, Lord. God, I pray that you help our church. Help us, God, to see what you'd have us to see. Help us to follow you, Lord, and just trusting that you will give us what we need. God, you'll provide, that we never worry about that, but we know that you'll provide your way and your time. God, be with those that are here this morning that are lost. Lord, those that are listening in, God, we thank you for them and pray for them. Pray for those that can't be here with us this morning. Be with them, God. Lord, I just pray you go with us and that your will be done here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Let's turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Going to look at verses 14 through 19. Probably been through here not too long ago. I don't recall the last time, but I know here at the church you've heard it probably several times, and I don't know that I'll tell you anything different, maybe different, but not new, maybe. I think maybe from a different perspective or point of view. When you see this here, I know that this has been used often for faith promise missions or missions and supplying missions needs and missionary needs, and I absolutely see the application there, and I believe that's a good thing, But I also see a different type of need here, because I want you to kind of maybe see it from maybe my perspective also. I don't want to give you my opinion. I'm saying my perspective from my viewpoint. I try to be as very careful as I can as in giving an opinion from behind the pulpit. I try to give what the Bible says and stay with that and maybe share some experiences, but not give opinions. My opinion doesn't matter. I want you to know that. But God's word does matter. And then sometimes when God allows us to experience things and share those experiences with other people, that's what makes it real. God gives, and you see here, Paul also many times gives different illustrations in the Bible so we can better understand it, have a better understanding of the application of it. You know, we are a missionary Baptist church. We believe in missions. Would you all agree with that? We like to help missionaries. We want to send missionaries overseas and even in the seas, in the states. We try to send them out with the hopes of getting the gospel out. That's the whole goal. The whole goal. Go ye into all the nations. Preaching the gospel, that's what we're supposed to do. But you know, I want to explain to you maybe from my perspective kind of how I see some things also. I see things as far as my personal life, my personal mission. Do you know what my first mission is? My family. My family. Josh, Brandy, my family, my extended family, Sarah, mom and dad. You know, that's my first mission. If you, honestly, if you knew that I wasn't taking care of them, would anything that I say up here mean anything to you? It wouldn't. It just wouldn't mean a thing to you. What's he saying? He wants to help all these people overseas and do all this, but yet he's not taking care of his own family. That's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? That don't sound right. That wouldn't be right, would it? Anybody think that'd be right? See, my first mission, my first calling is to be the father in my home, to take care of my family as the provider. That's what God has called me to do. That's rule number one. If that goes away, then anything here goes away also. Would you not agree? In my second mission, and when I look at it this way, my second mission is my church. This is what the Lord has given to me. It's what he's given to us. I'm supposed to help take care of this church. Now, it's God. I'm not going to give you any false illusion that it's me. It's God, but he works through us if we will let him. I'm the under-shepherd. I'm the little shepherd. He's the big shepherd. We're to follow him. So I say those things. If I wasn't taking care of my church, then how would that look? He's not a good pastor. He don't care after his people. He don't take care of their needs. He don't look after them. How would that look? Would that be the church that you'd want to go to? If you're looking for a church and thinking about maybe going somewhere, would that be the church that you'd want to attend? It wouldn't be, would it? Don't you want to go where you're appreciated, you're cared for, you're loved, and you know it, and you feel it? Praise God, I've already felt the Spirit here this morning. I've been praying for that. You know, some messages are easier preached than others. Some messages, let's look at it like this, gardening. We're coming to the end of the gardening season, and here's the real matter of it. If I went out into a place on the ground and I didn't cultivate it, I didn't do anything to it, it's grassy, it's weedy, and I take all the different seeds that you would to place in a garden, and I just throw those seeds out on top of the grass, should I really expect anything? Should I expect anything in return? Or it's just like, well, you might get something to grow, but probably not. The weeds will probably choke it out, and it's not cultivated. Takes a little bit to prepare the ground if you're really going to grow and try to really put forth and grow with it or try to grow. Takes a lot. Now, I know it's been a long time since I've worked in the garden. Mom and Dad still do it. They do a lot. And I tell you, what I remember as a child is one of the neatest rock gardens I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what we were putting in the ground, but every year, my cousin, Brother Jim Mixon, he would come and he would disc the ground and he'd pull it out and everything. And every year we had fresh new rocks. And I was kind of lower to the ground at the time, so I got to take part in throwing all those rocks out. If you need any rocks beside Mom and Dad's garden, there's plenty. Help yourself. Next year there'll be more. Come help yourself. We'll let you pick them fresh out of the garden if you want to. But there's a lot of work that goes into it, and when I look at this type of message, it's a cultivating type message. It's not going to do any good just to throw it on top and not try to get underneath. It has to get on the inside. There has to be some cultivating. There has to be some digging. There has to be some soul searching. This morning, I just want to preach on the simple topic of giving. Give. Give. Boy, you're saying, preacher, I hate it when we talk about that. You talk about tithing and giving. I'm talking about giving from a different perspective. I'm not talking about tithing. I believe people here tithe. I'm not talking about offerings. I believe people here give offerings. I'm talking about giving through the church. What do we do Where does the money go, and what do we do with the money after it arrives at the church? I thought a lot about it. You take the plate. You know, when I tithe and I put the money in here, is that money still my money? Is it my money? Or is it God's money? That's right. It's the Lord's money. It becomes His money, right? It's no longer mine. Can I put my money in here and then you put your money in here? And would you be able just to go ahead, and if you counted it, you'd know the amount, but would you be able to go in there and just take your money out and say, I need that back? I'm going to give that to something else. Or is that God's money? I believe it's His money. You know, we talk about provision, God providing, God allowing things to come together for us, a place to even give us a place as people to help other people in His name. You know, if the Lord wanted to drop money out of the sky, He could. We talked about miracles. Brother Al, He can do it any way He wants to. It's all His. Anybody argue that? No, I don't think so. It's all His. He gives it to us, and in turn we tithe, and then we have a place to bring it to, the church, and then in turn we can help people with it. Most often we help missionaries. Is that right? Praise the Lord. I think we need to do that. But who's my first mission? My family. Who's my second mission? My church. My third mission, getting it out to abroad. You think about it. Jerusalem, Judea, and then the other postmark. You got to take care of home first. If home is not taken care of, out there is really not going to matter. You got to take care of home first. Giving, that means to bestow something to another person without an equivalent or compensation. That's when you give it, you're not expecting anything to come back. You're giving because you want to. We give tithing because God commands us to. But then we need to help people. Let's look right here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. I'll try not to be too lengthy this morning. But there's some things here I hadn't really seen before that really kind of spoke to me. Made me think, which that's what the Bible's supposed to do. It's easy to read the scriptures that don't step on our toes or don't really cultivate us and say, that's right. But then it's kind of different when it kind of lands on the heart and it really makes you think. It says here, verse number 14, it says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. My affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice accepting, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we see a clear and present situation here of how Paul was receiving. He received the gift from the church of the Philippi, financial help. You know, it was something that he was saying here. He wasn't expecting it, but he needed some help. Has anybody here ever needed any help? I have. We'll talk about the difference between wants and needs also, but something that I find very good here in verse number 14 says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Communication, when I think about that, I think that also means to talk. Communication is very important. Most often when things break down or tear up or go sideways is because there's a lack of communication. Knowing the facts, understanding what it is. I think sometimes in giving, that's the first thing that we want to find out is communicate and find out if it's an actual need or not. There's some communication that went on. But also it means here to give to another. That means that's what communication is. Not too many weeks ago, we were in Galatians chapter number 6, and this verse came back, verse number 1. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Him that is taught in the word. Nobody here would want to say, I'm not taught in the Word. We won't say we're taught in the Word. That means we've studied. That means we've looked at it and say, God, how would you like for us to systematically handle your business? How would you like to do the business of the church? You seek Him first. You communicate with Him. He'll let you know. The Holy Spirit will guide us if we let Him. He will do that. We're not supposed to just do things willy-nilly or on a whim. A whim. He's going to tell us and show us how to do things. It's talking about how to give here. Let him that is taught, them that know the Bible and understand and have an understanding of situations. I was thinking about it like that. I think sometimes some of the harder things that I've faced in life was God helping me to have a better understanding of empathy for somebody else. There's things I haven't experienced. There's things I don't know, but you have. And when you reach out to somebody and you've experienced that, you can say, I know how you feel. This is uncomfortable. This is hard. This is not an easy situation. And you have a different level of empathy. A person that hasn't faced some of these things doesn't have that. I'm not saying they're not a good person and not a caring person, but they just haven't experienced it. They don't know what it's like. See, Paul here, he's coming from a place that he needed some help. One of the things that the Lord gave me here, I wrote this down. When we stop giving, we stop living. I want you to think about that. Let that sink in. When we stop giving, we stop living. When you stop giving of your time to the Lord, you really stop living the way that He would have you to live. When you stop giving to the church the way that He would have you to do so, you stop living the way He would have you to live. It's that important. I remember a time in my life that I was not doing that, and I was not living the life that I wanted to live. I didn't like life. I didn't like what it was like. It was hard. It was discouraging. And the bad thing, Brother Nathan, is I knew better. I knew there was a way that I was supposed to do things, and I wasn't doing it, and things just started tanking, and no matter what I did, it didn't get better. And every time the Lord was telling me, I was saved. The Lord would tell me, you're not doing right, and you know that. Yeah, Lord, but I want to do it my way. Everybody else is, I want to do it my way. When you stop giving to God what's His, you stop living the life that you want to have. Let me tell you that. Understand that, young people. You don't have to go down a bad path. You don't have to try your way. I mean, if you know that there's a good way, just stay in the good way. Stay with it. I want to challenge you this morning. We stop living the life that God has intended for us. You look at verses 15 and 16 here about this church. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, he was just starting out, going out to start this mission tour. No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. This church not only gave once, but they gave twice. The church gave. The church got together. They talked about it. The church gave. What really surprised me about this, out of all the other ones, you look at Acts 16, talks about this church. Paul was very close to this church. There was a bond that he had with this church. Out of all the other churches, all the other places, when he went to them, he presented, this was the only church that helped him. Does that surprise anybody? I would have thought, man, this is Paul. You hear of the power that he preaches and what he did, but only one church offered to help him? That's discouraging. Thought about our missionaries. I thought about Brother Bill and different ones that go out and they try to get financial help as they go out to the mission field. Only one church helped them. I wonder what that conversation was like. Did they communicate? They say, you know, Paul's getting ready to go on this tour. He's heading out. Do you think we should help him? Only one church. Only one church thought enough to help him. Learned about giving and receiving. This is how it works. Again, Galatians chapter number 6, verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So that's where things kind of change. And when I read this word by word, how it changes for me, it didn't say, let us communicate to all missionaries, all preachers. It's only set aside just for them. It didn't say that. What did it say? All men. Who's that? That's everybody, is it not? I mean, that's everybody. That doesn't exclude anybody. When we talk about an offering of salvation, that's everybody. Whosoever will, that's everybody. This says all men. And then it says, especially unto them who are the household of faith, especially the people that are part of the church. So what's Paul saying? When you find an opportunity to help somebody, help them. That's what my Bible says. That's what it's showing. That's what it's saying. Somebody needs help. I want to tell you something. A giving church, let this sink in. A giving church is a living church. A giving church is a living church. I think sometimes we get worried about what people are going to do with God's money. I think about that a lot. I had a situation I heard when I was a little kid. This person used to go around to churches asking for money, saying her child was sick. My child has cancer. She's sick. Would you please help us? We got to go to Winston tomorrow, and I need money for help. And of course, we took up a love offering, gave her some money. Next day at school, that girl, Brother Dale, we went to school together. She's in school with me. I thought, well, that ain't right. I thought she was sick, very sick. Why? How is she here? That ain't right. Later on, learned that the mother had gone out in the community, and she said, I know where to find money. I know how to get money when I need it. I'll go down to the church and give them some kind of store, and they'll give me money. Now, who here would agree with that? Nobody. We know that's wrong. Who's held accountable for it? She is. I want to tell you something. This church, when I lost my job, it's one of those things Paul said he wasn't expecting it. He wasn't deserving of it, but he needed help. I needed help. I've never been in a situation like that. I'm just going to tell you how it was. When I lost my job, a period of time went by, and my pastor, we talked about this. We communicated through the process. As a member of this church, we communicated. I love how that word means two things: talking, communication, and giving. We talked about it. He said, said the church could probably make your house payment, but what are you going to do next month? I said, I can't make it next month. And we agreed. We knew that. We talked through the process. I knew that that was not going to fix the problem. It wasn't that you just give everything you got just to see what happens, but you logically talk through the situation. It's a case-by-case basis. What will actually help you and what is reasonable and what will help you versus let's just see what happens. That's not what you do with God's money. So we talked about it and said, you're exactly right. Even if this month's house payment was made, I can't make the next one, or the next one. So no, let's don't do that. You see, when I was looking at it, that's God's money. And I didn't want to misuse it. You know, a real Christian will not want to misuse God's money. They won't take care of it. They won't honor it. Let me say, if I go out here and I earn some money, Brother Norman, and I put it in my pocket, praise the Lord, I'll take it. But if the church gives me some money, that's different. That's different. I know where it came from. I respect where it came from. I respect where it comes from. There's a different level. You don't just throw that out there. You just don't do any old thing with it. It's knowing how to do or what you're supposed to do with God's money. If I had misused that money, guess what? It's on me. If somebody misuses God's money, guess what? The church is not obligated to give to them again. You communicate and say, look, we tried this. They misused it. We'll not do that again. There's nothing wrong with that. But that first time, that first need, that first help, I think the church should help them. I believe that with all my heart. I don't have any problem saying that. I want to use this example, and I've used it here before, but God really laid it on my heart.
about 5:30 this morning. Again, a giving church is a living church. A giving church is a living church. I go back to that time, very same time when I lost my job. You know, that's, Sister Dreena, that's how it happens. Everything falls apart at the same time. That's how it is. Not just one thing, but everything kind of rolls, snowballs, and everything falls apart at the same time. I was in Bible college, and Brandy calls me, and she says, my car's broke down. I just had got to school. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to get my life straightened back out. I'm trying to do what you'd have me to do. I'm where you want me to be. Why is this happening? Brother Curtis, sometimes things take time. And I'm sitting there, and I tell my pastor I got to go, and it's a sad scene. Car wouldn't start. So I had to come pick her up, take her home. It sat over there in the parking lot. It worked for some time, and then I'm at work, and I was working with Brother Aaron. He took me to go get the parts. Was trying to figure out what was going on with it. I'm not a mechanic. Somebody in our church is, Brother Rodney. You probably know him. We show up at the parts store. I wasn't expecting anything. I needed help, but I wasn't expecting anything. If I expected something, I just sit at home and just said, hey, let it come to me. I was trying to find out what I needed. I go and I look for a part. I don't even know what I'm looking for. Something under the hood ain't working. I need some help. Guess who walks in the door? Brother Rodney. Guess what kind of car we had? Subaru. Guess what kind of God we have? An all-knowing God. I was like, I don't know what to do. And Brother Rodney, you tried. He said, well, all you got to do is you open the hood and you flip this and you flip that and you do this and you do that. And I'm like, could you speak in English? I don't know what you're saying. I mean, Spanish would have made more sense at that point. He said, or I can come do it for you. And I say, I like that. See, that's how God does. Brother Rodney, he does things that way. What you can't do for yourself, he'll do it for you. Amen. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my life many times. And you know, he did that, and I wasn't expecting anything from him. I knew I had limited ability. One, I couldn't fix it. Two, I didn't have the money. But you know, you work those things out. You can ask somebody for it. Figure something out. Number one is getting the car back on the road so Brandy could go to work. She was the only one working at the time full time. So Brother Rodney, he fixed it. We're standing over there at the convocation parking lot. I said, Brother Rodney, I said, what do I owe you? And I knowing he knew my situation, the church knew my situation, he said, preacher, you don't owe me a thing. I didn't expect that. I wasn't looking for that. God orchestrated it. I didn't go to him. God put us together. You know what you said? I don't know if you remember or not, but he said, I do this for my preacher. That's 10, 12 years ago. It has a different meaning this morning, doesn't it, Brother Rodney? Amen. You don't know who you're helping when you're helping. Let me tell you, that day when we were standing in that parking lot, we didn't know about this morning. That's how God works. You're going to see how things come back around. You think about the church at Jerusalem. They had everything going. It was a booming church. We'll see that here in just a minute. What I have learned about giving, if I have an abundance of anything, if it's money or if it's time or if it's knowledge, if it's something, if I have something in abundance that I can share with somebody, I try to give it to them in that moment because I know they need it more than I do. Trusting that when I need it, it'll be there. I could give you different illustrations. I was trying to think about it and things that could be good to share. You know, it's just some things you hold to yourself. But when I was learning about giving and being in need and kind of what that's like, you know, God will teach you and show you what you actually need versus what you want. Remember a time after surrendering to preach, and again, it was at Bible school and everything that was going on, and somebody had given me some money. They gave me a $100 bill, and I had it in my pocket, and I saved it. I don't know, I had it probably a couple of weeks. $100 then was a lot. 10 years ago, isn't that something? And I held on to that, and I was thinking, you know, things are tight, things are hard, but I'm going to hold on to it, and that way if something else happens, I'll have it in hand. We were in school, we was in Bible school, and just me and another fellow behind me, and the Lord just told me, he said, give him that money. I'm like, Lord, don't, hello, I'm the one in a mess right now. He's probably doing better than I am. This makes no sense. This is crazy. He's probably going to think I'm a nut. He's going to think, does he think I need money? And he kept on. He said, give him that money. I turned around, Brother Dale, and I said, I don't know why, but God is telling me to do this. I gave it to him, folded up, and he went, his eyes got big, and he stuck it in his pocket. Never said anything else. And I think he said, thank you. And I said, I don't, and it made no sense. It made no sense. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. Hope something don't break down on the way home. And, you know, nothing else was said. A week later, I go back to school. You know how you greet people and you come into school, and the pastor, he's standing there at the door, and he reached out to shake my hand as he always does, and something was in his hand, and I just put it in my pocket. I didn't even look, and I thought, well, this is strange. I know this is that time that God had sent different people to help me and do different things because they knew what I was going through, and I didn't look. You know, I got in the car. I was very curious after school. You never want to look in front of somebody. You know, that's rude. You know, I got in the car, and I said, I got to see what this is. And I was expecting a $100 bill or 20, you know. It was $200 bills. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. But you know what? If you give in his name, it works. Amen. If it don't make sense, do it anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, church, I promise you, as an individual, we will not fail if we're doing it God's way. You agree with that? Guess what? As a church, we will not fail if we're doing it God's way. I promise you that. On the authority of his word, a giving church is a living church. When we have it to give, I believe we're supposed to give, and God in turn promises to supply our need. The Bible teaches us that it's impossible to serve God and mammon, right? You believe that? I mean, I was looking at that and I was thinking about it. It's impossible to serve God and mammon. This is God, this is mammon. It's impossible to serve them both. That's telling me you can't hold on to this the way you're supposed to and hold on to this the way you're not supposed to. You agree with that? If you're not careful, if you start holding on to this, Brother Ben, this is what you'll do. It's what we'll do. Because this is what I got. This is tangible. This is what I got. But Jesus is saying, you're supposed to hold on to this. You can't serve both. What is it if you do this? What if you do this? I'm telling you, what if we did this instead? How much faith you got in the economy this morning? I want you to think about that. Inflation, that's wrecking everybody, is it not? You might have a lot of money in the bank today. Do you know tomorrow it might not be worth anything? And now you've got a whole bunch of nothing in the bank. But you know what? You know what the Lord showed me this morning? He said, Jason, my stock only goes up. It never goes down. You never feel the effects of inflation with me. It only goes up. And guess what? The closer you get to the finish line, the sweeter it gets. That's what he said. He said, this is the promise that we're holding on to here. Not that. Not what we think that we have in anything physical or financial. He said, this is the promises right here. This is the promise of eternal life, the hope of eternal life. What would you rather hold on to this morning? What are you holding on to this morning? We go down, we see here in verse number 17. I'll try to hurry and finish out here. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He's talking about he wasn't desiring the gift. He wasn't trying to get something for nothing. He needed help. And he wanted that to go to the church's account. It's the furtherance of the gospel. You think about missionaries. I want us to see things I love our missionaries. This is not anti-missionary. I want you to know that. I'm pro-missionary. I'm a missionary. Now, I want you to understand something. You're a missionary. God sends you out into this world. You're a missionary every single day. Don't you think that if God made promises like this, he didn't make it just to a select group of people. He made it to everybody, his people. If you're out soul winning, you're a missionary. If you don't have what you need, guess what? God promised he would do that. We think, well, if God wants you to do that, God wants you to do this. What better way to do God's business than through God's church? We're his people. We're his church. If he's communicating with us that we're supposed to do something, are we not supposed to do it? John 13, 14 and 15, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the new commandment. This is nothing to do with the law. He gives a new commandment. He's teaching us and telling us to love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if ye have love one to another. He's saying this is how everybody's going to know that you're one of mine, is when they see how you love somebody else. Love is an action word. Love is a motion word. How do you know that I love you? You think I love you? If you do, then how do you know that? What have I done to make you think that? How do I know that you love me? Kindness, expressions, things, provision. How do you know? How does the world know that we love one another? It should be different. You know, down there at that church, they take care of each other. They look after each other. Somebody needs something. It's like this whole big family. It's like if somebody needs something, they take care of each other. If they fall in need or something, they help them. They just don't want by them. If you know that I need a specific thing and you have a specific thing, would you give it to me? Would you? If I did, Brother Allen, I should. I should. If I'm following God's word, I should. And if I love you, it should not be a chore. It shouldn't be hard. I do it because I love you. I do it because I want to see you do good. Why do I give Josh things? My first mission. Because I love him. If he needs it, because I want to help him. Why do I do things at the church? Because it's my second mission. Because I love you and I want to help you. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart. See, that's part of that commandment. We do things for people that we love. We're supposed to love one another. If we know that somebody needs a certain thing and we have that certain thing, Brother Rodney, it's such a blessing to be able to give it. You know how good that felt when you did that to me? When you helped me that way, but I promise you, he received the greater blessing. I promise you that. Brandy and I, we talked about that I don't know how many times. During that time, we said, if we ever get to a place that we can help other people after experiencing this, I want to help other people. And you know how good that feels? Somebody at work, somewhere else saying, man, this just went out. Man, I've got to come up with this kind of money. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you have that to be able to give and help. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. You see that look of relief? You see that look? This person actually loves me and they want to help me. You know what kind of testimony that is for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It's a real testimony. It's putting our money where our mouth is, whatever it may be, even if it's time, even if it's something else, expertise. Maybe you know how to work on cars. Maybe you know how to work on computers or other things. And you're able to help somebody and do that in the name of the Lord. What a blessing that is. I'm afraid most often what happens, and I'm not making light when I say this, but I'm going to say it. Most often what we say is, I'll help you pray about that. We all know what that is. If you're Baptist, you know what that is. That's the Baptist know. That's what that is. How would it be if we went to the Lord and we know that he has everything that we need, and we went to him and he just said, I'll help you pray about that. And he didn't provide for us. My goodness, how he wants to help us and how he provides and looks after us. And look at
Matthew, real quick, I want to read something quickly. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, ye shall give him a stone?" Do you really think about what that verse is saying? This, your son come to you and say, "Dad, I need this bread, and here's your rock." It's not what he needed. "Or if you ask for a fish, and you shall give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" It's talking about how he provides for us, how he looks after us, how he cares for us. Look at verse 18 and 19, and I'll close here, and it says, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." God looking down from heaven, his perspective, he looks down, and Epaphroditus had what Paul needed and said, "Here, I'm going to give it to you." You know, that pleased the Lord. That pleased the Lord when he saw that. He said, they're obeying my commandment. Love one another. Love one another. Somebody had a need. They reached out to them, and they supplied that need. And God in heaven looked down and smiled, and he said, "You know what? Now, if you have a need, I've got you covered." That's what he says. You look, you go back and read the rest of Galatians. It talks again about the law of reaping and sowing. It's his promise. You say, if you help somebody else, I will make sure you're taken care of. On the flip side of that, if you don't help somebody else, what promise do you have? What are you holding on to? Self-provision, or what we think we can do for ourselves. Let me tell you, God can do so much more for us than we could ever do for ourselves. We know that. Think about that. Verse number 19, I'll close with this. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I'm just going to leave it right there. According to his glory. He promised that if we help people and we take care of people, missionaries, people in the church, it says all men, and especially the household of faith, that pretty much covers everybody. He said, if you do that, I'll take care of you. I just want to challenge us. I'm serious. I thought, should I do this or should I not? Should I do this, should I not? I'm going to. I want to challenge everybody in the church today to find somebody, in the church or not, that needs something and help them. I'm just telling you, look around. It don't take much. You don't have to look far to help somebody. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be something grand. But I'm telling you, I don't think the Lord will be mad at me for telling you or asking you to do that. And I think he'll bless you for it. I just want to go ahead and tell you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that this morning. Find somebody, family, church, outside the church, somebody you don't know would probably even be better, be honest with you, and help them. And you know what? Tell them, the Lord told me to do this. Do it in the name of the Lord and see what he does with it. See what he does. I want to challenge us that way this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask the ladies to come. We'll have a time of